And Kathy Pelczynski, we're praying for you. And may the good Lord's medicine just exceed all of our wonderful human medicine. And we'll put a wonderful whopping dose of the Holy Ghost upon you. You may join me. It is printed, the scripture with this morning, Luke 3, 7 through 18, on the back of your worship leaflets today. John, and this means John the Baptist, John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. I saw an extra long bumper sticker a few days ago. You know, you don't see as many bumper stickers as you used to. Have you noticed that? Maybe I ought to pay more attention to my driving than I do trying to notice bumper stickers. This one I saw a few days ago, it said, "I will not obsess, I will not obsess, I will not obsess, I will not obsess." Another one that I see around our area is, I like this one, "Yes, my car is fast. No, you may not drive it." And this one, "Never give the devil a ride because he'll insist on driving." There's another one you may have seen around town that reads, "God is my joy bringer. God is my joy bringer." Now, yes, the Holy One is the Lord of lords, the Lord of love, the King of peace. But God is also indeed our joy bringer. In times like ours, it's easy to get bogged down in a dismal, shadowy mood. Problems around us can be intimidating. Our inhumanity to others seems shocking, especially as we read and look at the news. And it's so easy to see only the bad side of things and allow ourselves to be pulled down into this whirlpool of grief and hopelessness. People are complaining that the world isn't only losing its energy, it may be losing its mind. Car bombings, terrorisms, assassinations, crime, massive corruption, moral degeneration. And people ask, what is wrong with us? These are sad, uncertain, tense times. But that's why it is so important, especially for God's people, to affirm that we are a people of joy. We are a joyful people because we know that the living God unendingly gives himself to us, unendingly gives himself to us through his Son and by the Holy Spirit. In the midst of even shadows and difficulties, even in our grief and our concern, God imparts himself to us by way of the Holy Spirit, and we are given joy. As I mentioned to the kids a few minutes ago, the entire New International Version of the Bible contains the word joy, Old and New Testament, contains the word joy 243 times. It repeats, J-O-Y. And remember, the word gospel itself in our older English means good news, glad tidings. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, includes the Lord's angel proclaiming, "Do not be afraid. Listen, I bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared by the whole people." And Luke concludes with the account of Jesus' last face-to-face interaction with his disciples before his ascension back to the right hand of God the Father. And as he was rising in ascension back to heaven, it says they worshiped him, and they went back to Jerusalem full of joy. Irma Bombeck, the late great humorist, told the story of what happened to her during church one Sunday. She says, "I was intent on a small child who was turning around and smiling at everyone. He was not gurgling, spitting, humming, kicking, tearing the hymnals, or rummaging through his mother's purse. He was just smiling. Finally, his mother jerked him to face forward, and in a stage whisper that could be heard in New York City traffic, she said, 'Stop that grinning. You're in church.' And with that, she gave him a belt with her elbow. And as the tears started to roll down his cheek, she added, 'That's better,' and returned to her prayers." You know, we sing, we read, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." While our faces, this is still Bombeck, while our faces reflect the sadness of one who has just buried a rich uncle who gave everything to his pet hamster. Well, she says, "Suddenly I was angry. It occurred to me that much of the world is in tears, and if you're not, then you better get with it. I wanted to hug this child," she says with a tear-stained face. "Wanted to hug him close to me and tell him about God, the forgiving and giving God, the one who had to have a sense of humor to create the likes of us, the Lord who understands little children who turn around and smile in church, and even curious little kids who rummage through their mother's purses. I wanted to tell that little child that I, too, have taken a few lumps for daring to smile in an otherwise solemn setting." She goes on, she says, "By long tradition, I suppose, one wears faith with the solemnity of a mourner, the mask of tragedy. But what a fool, I thought, this woman sitting next to a priceless sign of hope, a rare miracle, a friendly, happy child in the house of the Lord. If that little boy could not smile in church, then where was there left to go?" Here we are, fools for Christ, wrote the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. And here we are, fools for Christ, with the prayer perhaps of the holy fool, maybe in our hearts or on our lips. I think it has a Shriner background, this prayer, the prayer of a holy fool. "Creator God of comics, clowns, and fools, I am grateful that your Son Jesus invites me to be a holy fool for your sake, to embrace your eccentric prophets, sacred people, and saints. I delight in that holy madness, since it calls each of us out of the humdrumness of daily life into adventure and sacred joy. I am filled with gratitude that your son's very life has reminded me to value mainly love, the true communion with other persons and with you, and to balance honor with humor. With circus bands and organ grinders, with fools, clowns, court jesters, and comics, with lively, high-spirited angels and saints, I too join the fun and foolishness of life so that your holy laughter, good Lord, may ring out to the very edges of the universe. There's a wonderful episode from Luke chapter 10 in which Jesus sends out the 70 disciples, some translations say 72, the 70 disciples in Christian mission. But I feel that we can identify with those 70. We gather in his name as they did. We sense his uplifting presence as they did. We experience God's forgiveness, and in some degree, I hope that I love the idea that we, myself included, walk away from this campus each week with a sense of mission similar to theirs. But notice what else happens in Luke chapter 10. The 17th verse has it. When the 70 returned to report to Jesus on their mission, they were in a state of jubilation. In the New Testament, it is the word chara from the Greek, which means great joy, exceeding delight, and gladness. Have you ever known of a girl, a young lady named Chara? I'm sure that's derived from that Greek. Jubilation, exceeding joy, great gladness. And they came together in an atmosphere of excitement, enthusiasm, and expectancy. They just couldn't wait to share their wonderful God-centered experiences. Ruth Bell Graham reminded us, glumness and gloom will not empty tomorrow of trouble, but they will rob today of joy. Being glum and glooming will not empty tomorrow of trouble, but they will rob today of joy. I saw a church marquee in Fort Worth that said, if you're happy and you know it, show your face. If you're happy and you know it, tell your face. I like that. It didn't have music assigned to it, but I just felt like belting out in some song. And you know I like these bumper stickers. Another one said, if ignorance is bliss, if ignorance is bliss, then why aren't more people happy? I have a dear friend in the ministry, a mentor and friend. He's retired now. I worked with Terry as his associate pastor. That was my first full-time ministry position right out of seminary. And this pastor friend of mine has had several heart-rending chapters in his life. But he stays positive, grateful, and thankful. And I remember one morning in response to a little whining session that I indulged in, Terry, who was my senior pastor, I was on his staff, Terry calmly looked at me in the eye, said to me, as Christians, do we believe that God is glorious, good, and great? Yes. And as Christians, do we believe that God's mercy and grace are amazing? Yes. Over and over, does the Bible call us to trust in God no matter what? Yes. And Terry concluded, so much is as simple as that. Don't overcomplicate it. Be happy and hopeful right now. In our passage today, Luke says a feeling of expectancy had grown among the people who were beginning to think that John the Baptizer might be the Christ. But John tells them otherwise. He declares, I am not fit to unloose the strap of his sandal. According to Luke, there were many other things John said to exhort the people and to announce, it says, the good news to them. And you know, we don't often, I don't at least, I don't often affiliate John the Baptist with good news. He needed to do what he did. He needed to say what he said. But Luke certainly does. And if the baptizer was a good news person, a God news person, then we can be also. We talk in church about loving our neighbor, loving our brothers and sisters, loving one another, being the good Samaritan, and it's right that we do so. But the problem is that many Christians go out with a heavy burden, a heavy mandate as we try to minister to others because we know that we ought to, we must, we should, it is required of us. And then the people to whom we extend helpfulness and grace, well, they'll know before very long that we might be undergoing some very ponderous, heavy chore when we love. Is that what we want to convey? Might we pick up on our attitudes and be more aware of how we're living, how we're feeling, what our mindset is day by day? Yes, Jesus asks us to reach out to others, but not in an attitude of drudgery, yet in an atmosphere of spontaneity and gladness, wanting us to be free for others, to be there when we're needed because of who God is and who we are in Him. In other words, God is love, compassion, and generosity. We, sacred creatures made in the image of the Most High, then we are only fulfilled in love, generosity, and compassion. We are daughters and sons of the Lord of grace, the King of peace, and the author of, say it with me, joy. Oh, say it, joy. Beautiful. Are you ready for another bumper sticker saying? Even if you're not, would you indulge me? Laughter is God's hand on the shoulder of a needy world. Laughter is God's hand on the shoulder of a needy world. And my last one, I promise, for this morning. Warning, laughter may be hazardous to your bad mood. The Marat Clowns, I think that they were or perhaps still are affiliated with the Shriners. The Marat Clowns are an organization of business people and professionals who donate their time visiting hospitals and soliciting donations to hospitals for needy children. The Marat Clowns were founded by a retired physician who, at the age of 87, began a new career as a working clown. And here is a portion of the Marat Clown's prayer. Lord, as I stumble through this life, help me to create more laughter than tears. Dispense more happiness than gloom. Spread more cheer than despair. Never let me grow so big that I will fail to see the wonder in the eyes of a child or the twinkle in the eyes of the aged. Help me always to remember that I am a clown, that my work is to cheer people up, inspire in them a smile, and help them laugh. And in my final moment, dear God, may I hear you whisper, when you made my people smile, you made me smile. Amen. They who are pleased that we get to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. If anyone today would like to affirm their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, believing that He is the Son of the living God, Lord and Savior of this world, you can come forward. We will receive you gladly in His name, and we will help you in that simple statement of faith. Let's stand now and join together our voices.
Turn to 601, Savior Like a Shepherd, lead us.